I find that I'm
Hello, everyone. So after years of relentless determination, Tony Blair has finally railroaded through digital ID. Initially, if you recall, Labour rejected the digital ID plan because Starmer did not want to be seen as a Blair puppet. Since then, as I have tracked on this channel and on various articles on my Substack, Blair has surrounded Starmer with his minions. Blairites basically fulfill most of the cabinet at this point. My last Substack article actually went through this. Unfortunately, he has not been able to remove Ed Miliband, but for all intents and purposes, he has got what he wants from this government, namely the implementation of digital ID. Now, I'm going to talk about what this means, what I think is going to happen now, and what, if anything, can be done to resist it. After these words, it is my autumn sale, promo code Shredder, 25% off all courses. Buy it now. And when I come back, I will talk more about digital ID. It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now. So, yes, pick up a course today. Tony Blair, digital ID, Keir Starmer. There are various theories as to what has happened here. One of them being that Starmer was on the ropes. If you remember, he lost Angela Rayner as his Deputy Prime Minister. I think that was a push by the Tory press that got rid of her through a scandal. Then there was the hit on Lord Mandelson, if you recall, who, for his connections with Jeffrey Epstein, he had to go. Then his Director of Communications resigned. And it looked like the Starmer government was on the brink of collapsing after this big reshuffle that they had done. And there are two basic theories here. One is that they've moved quickly on digital ID now as a kind of dead cat bounce, whereby everybody's now talking about this as opposed to the imminent collapse of the Labour government. That is one theory, that they've done it as a kind of PR swerve. Another theory is that in a moment of desperation, he has basically caved to all of the Dark Lords, that's Blair's, demands, because he needs basically powerful backers above him, so to speak, in order for his government to stay in power. To be honest, I don't buy either of those theories. I think Keir Starmer does not respond to human emotion, does not respond like a normal politician does, and it doesn't really matter that he's at 11%. It doesn't really matter how unpopular he is. He is going to relentlessly do what he was installed to do, which is implement this control grid that we're seeing now, and it doesn't matter if they justify it through immigration or COVID or whatever. It doesn't really matter what the justification is. They are doing this. It was a plan way... the reason I don't agree with those current theories that are out there is that we know that Blair and his friends have been working on this literally for 20 years. Ever since Blair suffered the defeat on ID cards 20-odd years ago when he was the Prime Minister, one of the few defeats that he had, he has been relentless in his pursuit of this, and he has powerful backers like Bill Gates, of course, and Larry Ellison, who was briefly the world's richest man last week. I think Elon Musk is back as the world's richest man now, but Larry Ellison is a very, very powerful chap and the owner of Oracle, who is a company that is involved in internet infrastructure, you might say, surveillance, security, etc. So they have a vested interest. And Oracle, of course, are big partners of the Tony Blair Institute. So everything that Tony Blair does really furthers the aims of big tech. He basically works. He is the, you know, an avatar of private-public partnerships and big tech digital takeover. That's why he's all about digital ID and AI. Now, one of the very good channels, I mean, people always ask me, well, you're down on everybody, AA. You know, I'm down on sloppylists, online right, who basically, you know, at the current year, want to wear a clown nose. I am not down on every channel. And one of the channels that consistently doesn't fall for it, consistently puts out good analysis, is UK Column. And on this particular topic, digital ID, they have been very, very good. And in fact, they have uncovered in their recent reporting connections even beyond Blair, things pointing to the situation in Ukraine, other deals that they've made. Also, they very helpfully show us the team behind it. So I'm going to play a little compilation clip from a recent UK Column episode. Watch this, and then when I come back, I'm going to give some final thoughts on this topic.
Two competing energy fields can be used to divide and rule the population. And what have we seen in our society over the past 12 months? Division, left, right, men, women, conservative, progressive, fighting against each other, sometimes literally in the street, so that the agenda can be floated in the background without people paying proper attention. And what do we have last week, 12 months on from that? Well, we have Jacinda Ardern on stage in London at Global Progress Action 2025, speaking to, on stage there on the left, John Podesta, as well as Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, who's there talking about how fantastic the energy transition is going to be for the Spanish economy, as well as J.B. Pritzker on the right-hand side there, governor of Illinois, who was promoting state control of childcare, basically state control of everything. That's what they're after. And then Anas Sarwar, the leader of Scottish Labour, you can see they're fawning over Mark Carney, who's now currently the Prime Minister of Canada. And they're slap bang in the middle, Keir Starmer, who decided that this was the appropriate forum to make the big announcement about the ID card scheme. Let's have a little listen to what he had to say.
Today, I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, sorry. But he's not going to charge us.
I know, exactly. Yeah. It's mandatory, and I sound like a total fascist, but it's free of charge. Don't worry. And he's decided to do that, not in Parliament, not at Downing Street, not to the to even to the press. Like, this is a invitation only, elite, liberal, globalist, progressive think tank event. And astonishingly, he's managed to unite the entire country, I think. As I said at the start, in absolute disgust at this.
So I think the petition's up to two and a half million is what somebody has just claimed on our chat box.
Yep.
And this is what we need. We need the numbers, but then we also need people to act. And we'll come on to that towards the end of the news.
Yeah, indeed. And he and various others have been out on heavily on social media. Starmer himself was on the BBC yesterday doing an appalling job of trying to defend this. I mean, he's trying to defend the completely indefensible. So I don't know what's happened here, but the execution of this has been extremely poor.
Because I would suggest, Ben, it's because the time frame for this to come in is not within Starmer's local political UK time frame when he feels comfortable that the population in the UK is ready for it. The time frame is going to be set externally,
yes,
at globalist level,
yes,
when they think the time is right. So Starmer will simply be told, tough luck, sonny, you need to get the ID policy in now. And yes, that's why he's Yeah. He's squirming.
I think that's probably a really good point, actually. We've heard the fact, you know, that we're behind on the SDGs, we're behind on the agenda, so maybe this is just a function of that. You know, taking the lead, as Mike said on Friday, from people like the Tony Blair Foundation, who've come in and said, hey, 63% of the country really want this. And then in reality, when they announce it, no, we really don't want this. But it's been amazing to see all of the kind of talking heads come out, a bunch of the politicians, a bunch of civil servants. Paul Mason has been going just straight into bat for Starmer all weekend. It's been amazing. And actually what he highlighted, as Lisa Nandy from DCMS also mentioned in the video that Mike shared on Friday, is that a lot of this is rooted in the Estonian e-identity scheme. Now, Estonia, a tiny country in Northern Europe, 1.3 million people, but it has set the template for digital government over the past 20 years. They talk about the e-identity, the EID, as the cornerstone of a seamless digital society. Every Estonian, no matter where they live, has a state-issued digital identity known as an EID. It's been in use for over 20 years. It's the cornerstone of our e-state, enabling secure digital transactions in both the public and the private sectors. Doesn't that just sound fantastic? And Estonia, like, you know, what could possibly be bad about Estonia? Most people have never even heard about it, you know, and they're not like they're involved in any wars or anything like that, are they?
So that's the soft sell.
Yes.
People are being told, don't worry, they're Estonians. They're all lovely people. They've got our best interests at heart. This is how globalist policy is sold locally.
Indeed it is, because what's behind that? Let's go and have a little look here at the profile from LinkedIn and Valeria Ionin, who is the Deputy Minister of Digital Transformation of Ukraine. Well, she was, sorry, between October 2019 and May this year. She's now been bumped up to advising the Deputy Prime Minister on the same issues. So this is the top digital transformation person in the Ukrainian government. And she was in the UK back in May. You pause that if you're watching back and have a full read of the post. I'll go through some of this now, but the most important bit for the purposes of what we're talking about this second are this statement right at the end, where she talks about this visit being part of the trilateral cooperation between Ukraine, Estonia and the UK.
So the plot thickens.
Indeed.
And now we're to believe we can just trust all those Ukrainians, forget all the right-wing extremists and the Nazi groups closely aligned to the Ukrainian government. Forget all that. They're more nice people who are going to help UK implement a digital ID system.
Yes, and the money laundering and a whole bunch of other things. So this young lady, she's come, I don't know, what does she look like? 30s, something like that? Mid-30s, maybe? No. You know, so like young lady over in the UK, full access, full top-tier access to all of the people running digitisation of the British state, including David Knott, who's the CTO, Chief Technology Officer of the whole of the UK government. See her there hanging around. Also, we've got Annette Southgate, who's the head of the Accelerated Capability Environment, ACE, at the Home Office. Yeah, so apparently there's huge potential for partnership there. Also, Emily Middleton, Director General for the Digital Centre of the Cabinet Office. So she's redesigning the whole of the centre of government. So our Ukrainian friend, straight in there, big meeting, big hug with Anita Friend, who's the head of the Defence and Security Accelerator at the MOD. And they're talking about Brave One, which is the Ukrainian Defence Accelerator and partnership there. You can see where this is all going. Also, Christine Bellamy, who's the Chief Executive of Government Digital Services. And there's a lot of ladies here. This chap on the right, I think he accidentally wandered into frame. He's got nothing to do with it, really. It's all about the ladies on the left-hand side there in the senior positions. And then there was one other bloke, this guy, Benedict Macon Cooney, who's the Chief Policy Strategist at the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change, who are completely up to their necks in what's going on in Ukraine. And actually, I've shared this quote last year, but I'll share it again. They're talking about hiring talent into Kyiv so that you can have the chance to make a direct impact on the single most important geopolitical event in the world since the end of the Cold War.
So that's the team in charge of keeping your data safe. Do you feel safe? Do you think it won't be used? Do you think the government aren't going to use that data in any clandestine way? Do you think hackers aren't going to be able to get in? Well, I know that Starmer's got his top team on the job, so I feel safe. But very interesting to see there's that link with the situation in Ukraine. And clearly, These are done deals. Like this is happening, and the groundwork was already in place under the Tories. Right, that woman who's just gone to reform, she drafted the Online Safety Act. Okay, this framework is being planned, and as UK Column suggested, it is being externally imposed on the UK by Starmer's masters, whoever they may be, of which the most visible is the Dark Lord Tony Blair. Starmer's just doing as he's told. He is not working to the incentives of the British public or popular opinion or what Johnny on the street thinks. He doesn't care about any of that. Speaking of which, I listened to quite a lot of LBC on the radio covering this. I happen to have Mrs. AA, who is a non-political, normie sort of person, doesn't really pay attention to politics. Vanessa Feltz was on, and there were various callers talking about this. And from the reactions of those callers, from her reactions, nobody's buying this. I mean, they put out this stat saying most people support this. If I had to guess, I would say about 90% of people are against this, see straight through it. Mrs. AA was like, look, this has nothing to do with immigration. What, you think we were born yesterday? You know, this is going to be used to spy. This is going to be used to control. Everybody already knows all of these things. And that's from someone who consumes no political content online whatsoever. It's just basic common sense. And basically every caller who called into LBC was dead against this. I heard a lot of people on LBC saying, like, I am not going to comply. Boris Johnson wrote this extraordinary piece saying that if he was given one of these cards, he'd shred it up and put it on his cornflakes, which was a bit of pure reaction by Boris. But I do think it's one of those times where he is correctly gauging the mood of the public. If I had to guess, 90% plus of people are against this. Okay. Final point, though, is that in typical Blair fashion, this is a done deal. The decision has already been made. It is coming in. You saw, as UK Column pointed out, that they didn't even announce this to the country. They announced it at some progressive conference that Starmer, you know, he was like, well, that'll do as the announcement. We'll just sneak it out. It's a done deal. And what Blair always did is, he brings something in, then you have the discussion, then you have the public debate. But it's already happening. And this is the problem. It's already happening. It's already happened. And now you react to something that's already been done. And if you think about chess, well, the first mover has momentum. The situation has changed. The board is being controlled. This is kind of effective use of power. But it's also, and this is a very interesting question of this Starmer government in general, it is stretching some of the precepts of elite theory that I talk about, top-down power, power without popular consent, to its limits. Right? This is already a government that is deeply unpopular. They're doing deeply unpopular things. Starmer just acts like he doesn't care. And it's like, well, there's quite a lot of elastic for a regime. There's quite a lot of elastic. But at some point, elastic will snap. And they are pushing it to the absolute limits at the moment. This is a radical experiment in top-down government without any sense of popular consent. Starmer, as I talked about, held on. Everybody thought he was going to go. He didn't. Like a robot, he just carried on, oblivious, as if nothing happened. They had a direct hit on Morgan McSweeney, who was exposed for corruption, over £700,000, which was used basically to oust Corbyn and get Starmer in. Not going to investigate it, not going to fire him. He's just shrugged it off. This government, Starmer's government, is not acting in a normal political way. And a lot of people said this from the very start. I remember my buddies on the Duran said, like, and Peter Hitchens, to be fair to him, said, look, Starmer is a Pabloist, which is a particular stripe of Marxist, who does not, he is there as a regime system man, as the Terminator, as I've said before, as Darth Vader to Blair's at Palpatine. He is there to do a job. And it doesn't matter how many petitions you sign, how many marches you do, how, you know, you're not going to be able to stop this coming in, because they're going to do it regardless. They're telling you to your face, we don't care about what you think. They're actually giving up the pretense of, you know, a kind of consent-based liberal democracy. This is post-democracy, post-liberalism, you could say, in action. Kind of interesting, very interesting situation. The fight is already lost, though. That's not to say don't try. By all means, try. But I, just my read at the current moment is this is going to happen. Will reform immediately repeal it? Immediately say, you know, if Farage comes in as the PM, is he going to get rid of it all? I wouldn't bet on it, because old Tony, old Larry Ellison and Fred, you know, are mates with Farage's mates in the White House and Bibi Netanyahu and Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and all these other people. They think the world of Tony, right? He's just been appointed to serve on this Gaza thing. And it has even been suggested that they might actually use the Palestinians as guinea pigs to trial more dystopian shit, more surveillance, right, on the Palestinians as a test run for all of us here in Britain and elsewhere in the West. Okay, because in a weird way, if you watch my buddy Stephen Carson, Radical Liberation, had a very good stream. It was called The Israeli Panopticon. Where you could very easily make the argument that we're all Palestinians in a sense, in a sense that that's an extreme surveillance situation, a kind of an open air prison, but in a way it's used to kind of test run stuff that happens here. And what better way to test it by putting the Dark Lord himself there to see what can happen? Now, as I said yesterday on office hours, I have doubts as to whether this plan is going to happen at all. So it remains to be seen, but if it happened, would you not believe it? We've seen every other evil from these people now. So, yeah, I wouldn't bet on reform. Once this is in, then undoing it. Okay, I've said all week what I think of Farage and what I think of reform. They're fake, and ultimately they serve the same people that Blair does. Nigel Farage has already said during COVID that he would have appointed Tony Blair as the COVID czar, and that he wants to be more like Tony Blair, and he looks up to Tony Blair. That's Farage basically saying, yeah, but, you know, I serve the same regime the Dark Lord serves, I serve too. So yeah, I don't have a lot of great news on this, because we knew it was coming, now it's here. And it's no longer in the realm, like, you know, when people talked about this, my buddy Morgoth is a good example, got a lot of pushback saying he was being paranoid, saying he was being a kook, he was moving dangerously close to quote-unquote conspiracy. Well, now it's all here. Now it's all actually happening. And the arguments, frankly, are appalling. Like, the PR, the propaganda around this has been bad. The way they're trying to sell it, oh, you've already got a driving license, you've already give data to Amazon, what's a little bit more, right? That's one of the arguments. Not a very good argument, really. Another argument that I've seen is, well, if you've got anything against this, you know, you've probably got something to hide. The only people who are not against this, right? Again, weak, not convincing. None of the real concerns that people are bringing up, security concerns, concerns over civic liberties, etc., have been addressed at all. They've been brushed aside. They're trying to start to elevate those sorts of criticisms as conspiracy. I'm watching that happen in real time. But as I said, a genuine reflection of the current mood will probably say that 11% that Starmer's got is probably the only people who actually support this in the country. Right, it's never 60 plus percent who support this. It's more like 90% of people are against this. It's interesting. All we can do is watch and see how they manage to pull this off, if they're going to pull this off. I think they're going to march on regardless. I think Starmer is going to still be there all the way up until 2029. They've already come for him. They've already tried to collapse the government. He shrugged it off, and he's still marching on like a robot, but, you know, doing the most unpopular stuff you can imagine. Much like Peter Hitchens said he would do, and much like my buddy Alexander Mercurius said on the Duran. So, in a way, I mean, this is a sad way to be vindicated for all those people. And all those people like UKIP Colm and Morgoth and so on, who and me, who've been talking about this for years. We've been talking about this exact issue for years. It's a sad way to be vindicated for it then actually to be happening, and for basically the population to be almost powerless, almost no way of coming back on this. I mean, people have talked about maybe like civil disobedience, like just not doing it, withdrawing taxes and so on. I don't know about all that. I mean, I think Starmer, it has Stalinist tendencies, right? And I say that as someone who's defended Stalin on this channel, but you know what I'm talking about, right? He is prepared to use hard power and has not shrunk away from it so far. And I think that he'll just carry on as a kind of hatchet man for this regime, regardless of what people do. All right, pick up a course, promo code Shredder, and I'll catch you tomorrow for probably more Tony talk as I look at the situation in Gaza again. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.